Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, November 1st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Amy Klobuchar on false political advertising on social media, and St. Paul looks at banning menthol tobacco sales. Open enrollment for individual market health insurance plans starts today in Minnesota and across the country, Mark Zedeklik reports.
In Minnesota, the fifth Affordable Care Act open enrollment period will be much like past years, but not in most states. Trump administration actions will affect the states using the federal healthcare.gov exchange. There's less time to choose a plan and less money for marketing and assistance efforts to help people sign up. MinSure CEO Allison O'Toole says in Minnesota, there will be an all-out push to get people on health plans.
We're lucky to be in Minnesota. We have taken steps to stabilize our market and to help consumers in a way that a lot of other states can't or haven't.
Still, O'Toole says the federal fight over the ACA has left people wondering whether they need coverage and what's in place to help them afford it. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A top state health official told lawmakers yesterday that Minnesota remains at risk for another measles outbreak. Tim Pugmire reports.
Chris Ayersman, infectious disease director at the Minnesota Department of Health, leveled the warning during a state Senate committee hearing on public health emergency funding. In August, the department declared an end to the state's largest measles outbreak in 30 years. Most of the cases involved unvaccinated children. Ayersman said vaccination rates remain extremely low in the Somali community.
Until vaccination rates in the Somali population improve, we are at risk for a similar situation occurring again.
Anti-vaccination advocates spread false information that the vaccine causes autism. Republican Senator Jim Abler said he thinks health officials have been tone-deaf to many of the concerns Somali parents have about vaccinations. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
This week, leaders of Google, Twitter, and Facebook are on Capitol Hill talking about false advertising on their sites. Yesterday, members of the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime and Terrorism grilled them. Tom Cran asked Senator Amy Klobuchar, who's a member of the subcommittee, what she was trying to learn from those lawyers about false information and extremist content on social media.
Well, for me, this wasn't exactly a game changer because we've been trying to push them to support our legislation. They have taken responsibility in some ways for what happened. They have taken some measures in each of their companies. Of course, they're all very different. And I was hoping that at this hearing they would say, this is a mess. It's caused a lot of angst, and this we should not allow our democracy to be overrun by ads from a foreign government. And we have the ability to do something about it. But mostly, we wanted them to say, and that's why we support this bill.
And is that what it would do? This is legislation you've introduced, the Honest Ads Act. Would it make it clearer with disclaimers that we're used to in ads that we see in political campaigns like yours?
Exactly. What it would do, and it's bipartisan with Senator McCain and also Senator Warner, it would simply say the same rules that apply to TV, radio, and print apply to the internet paid political ads.
But just to be clear, at no point did any of the people testifying, say, from Twitter, Facebook, or Google, open the door to show any interest in this at all.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't pass the legislation. $1.4 billion was spent on internet ads in 2016. Estimates are that in the next election, it's going to double, triple, quadruple. They simply can't keep going like the Wild West. There has to be rules in place.
There might be people who are concerned that Congress would step into what they would see regulate social media, and it may have free speech implications. So what's your answer to that?
These are paid political ads. You can put all the cat videos you want up on YouTube, even if your cat says that he supports Donald Trump or doesn't support Donald Trump. It's for paid political ads over $500. It's very similar to the rules we see for TV, radio, and print. And to me, that's not just normal social media. That's a social media on steroids. That's paid social media. And it puts them in the land where you shouldn't be able to run one political ad on TV, and then the TV station says, uh-oh, no, we aren't going to run this because it's totally inaccurate. Or, okay, we're going to run this, but we got to keep it on file so everyone can see it. And then you run it on Facebook, and no one even knows it happened. Half their ads are just vanishing, but they're targeting people.
What about the issue that's just slightly different? But the Wall Street Journal reported that Facebook accounts that were linked to Russia helped organize and fund some of the large, both liberal and conservative protests around the country, including activity here in Minnesota that followed the police shooting of Philando Castile. How would your legislation help prevent use like that?
Well, this would cover this kind of thing if it's paid, and then it also covers it because it says that they have to take reasonable efforts to root out foreign influence. Clearly, they were not doing that in the last election.
I want to get on to the Russian investigation. You're a former prosecutor yourself, so I'm wondering, what is your big takeaway that you see in these first indictments from Robert Mueller and the special counsel's office here?
Well, this is a very serious issue. You have the former chair of the president's campaign now being indicted, and you also have someone else that was indicted and actually pled guilty to being something of a go-between. He was talking to people in the campaign and then reaching out to Russian agents. So this is a very big deal. And most importantly, from my perspective as a senator from Minnesota who serves on the Judiciary Committee, that is that we must allow Director Mueller's investigation to continue. There have been, over the last few months, clear indications that the White House would like to shut it down. They'd like to fire the Attorney General. They'd like to fire the Deputy Attorney General. And we have to stand up to that. It was Senator Lindsey Graham that said if they actually do that, constitutional crisis, beginning of the end of the presidency. So that is a very important thing right now going on in the Senate. If there's any kind of whiff that they're going to start firing people if they don't fire Mueller.
That's Senator Amy Klobuchar talking to Tom Crane. By late next year, it'll likely be much harder to buy menthol cigarettes in St. Paul. The city council today is expected to tighten restrictions on the sale of flavored tobacco, adding menthol, mint, and wintergreen to the list of products banned from gas stations and corner stores. Anti-smoking groups strongly support the move, but many convenience store owners fear they'll be forced out of business. Matt Sepik has more.
Your mouth feels clean. Your throat refreshed.
Tobacco companies have long marketed menthols as easier on the throat than regular cigarettes because of the cooling sensation the mint flavor provides. This commercial for Cools from the late 1950s features an ice-skating cartoon penguin.
As cool and as clean as a breath of fresh air.
The federal government banned tobacco ads from radio and TV in 1971, but by that point, cigarette makers were advertising menthols heavily in African-American magazines and in black neighborhoods. Sylvia Amos with the anti-tobacco campaign Beautiful Lie, Ugly Truth hopes an ordinance restricting menthol sales in St. Paul will lead to fewer young people becoming addicted. Ahead of a recent city council meeting, Amos, who's African-American, said this issue is personal. Her mother got hooked on menthols at age 11 and died of cancer after a lifetime of smoking.
Quit targeting young African-Americans, LGBT community, and other people of color, because what you're telling me is that our lives don't matter. Profits matter over us.
The restrictions the St. Paul City Council is scheduled to vote on today don't ban minty tobacco outright, but it would be limited to stores that get at least 90% of their revenue from tobacco and its paraphernalia. A change approved last week also allows liquor stores to keep selling menthol. The St. Paul ordinance is similar to one recently approved in Minneapolis. The measures don't only restrict menthol cigarette sales, they also limit mint-flavored chewing tobacco. That's what 20-year-old college student Jake Pence was buying one day last week at Metro Petro, a gas station on University Avenue in Minneapolis near the St. Paul city limits. Pence hadn't heard of either city's ordinance, but says unless he quits chewing, he'll have to go somewhere else to get his tins of Copenhagen.
I've been slowly cutting back as is, so I mean, I think that would obviously help the cause if I have to go extra out of my way. Being a student, I don't even have a car anyways.
Tobacco use has been declining steadily across the state, but the Minnesota Retailers Association says it remains a big seller at convenience stores, where cigarettes alone account for more than a third of revenue. The group says 2 out of every 5 packs sold are menthols. Clay Lambert, who owns the Metro Petro, fears the menthol restrictions will mean a big drop-off in sales and customers. Lambert says there's no easy way to replace the expected lost revenue.
Food service, yes, we can go to a larger food service program, but that's expensive, and you can't do that overnight either. We're investing in our car wash. That's going to take some time to get up and running. We are doing what we can, but nothing's going to happen quickly.
Other convenience store owners who are even more reliant on menthol cigarette sales fear they'll be driven out of business entirely. They say officials in both cities have not appeared interested in compromises, such as removing in-store advertising and selling only to people 21 and older. If the St. Paul City Council passes menthol restrictions, as expected this afternoon, they'd go into effect a year from now. Gas stations and corner stores in Minneapolis must have menthol off the shelves by August 1st. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.